Hey, Bill.
Yes, Philip. How are we doing tonight?
Good. I'm doing good, man. Hey, I just wanted to let you know I got a new nickname while you were done.
I've heard a lot of people call you a lot of names.
Yeah, I know that's true too, but
not to your face necessarily. But,
no,
yeah.
But this came out in New York.
Oh, wait. I mean, this is like, oh, friends gave you some complimentary.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
It seems that some people, they try...
Nothing to do with the names I heard.
No.
Okay, all right, I'm sorry.
It seems... Well, hello, everybody. How are you doing out there?
Thank you. You've been sent to the brick. Did you forget that? I was waiting for that.
I forgot that. Today's April 28th.
You know what else? These people would be just you and I?
I know.
You don't even care. You don't acknowledge our friends.
I know.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Why don't you share with us?
I apologize.
I know you're excited. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, the other day I got a...
Jump the gun.
No, I didn't jump the gun. It did it on its own. But what I wanted to say, Bill, was...
Somebody gave you a nickname.
They gave me a new nickname. Tuesday.
They call you Tuesday?
No.
They gave
me a
nickname.
No, they gave me a nickname Tuesday.
Why'd you say Tuesday?
Because that's the day they gave it to me.
But your nickname's not Tuesday.
No.
All right.
I was sitting here answering some emails and stuff.
On Tuesday.
And I got an instant message from Hermes.
Yeah.
With an attachment.
Nice. By the way, thanks him for calling in last
week. That's true.
Thanks, Hermes. That was nice, you know. Maybe you screwed up and called sometime on your show, I hope.
Yeah. And Amy chimed in, and Hermes said, hit me up on Facebook. So I went to the Facebook page,
yeah.
And Amy said, hey, I've been looking for the link to your show. What are you blocked or whatever? And I said, no. And she said, oh, you're keeping a low profile? And this is the nickname she gave me.
Your nickname's Johnny Rivers?
No.
Oh, okay. There's a man who leads a life of danger. Well, Johnny Rivers' real name was John Rasmatella, I think it was. That's a new nickname?
That's correct. No.
Is that the name?
No.
Your nickname said do with that song.
Yeah.
Okay. Secret Asian Man?
No, Secret Asian Man.
Asian.
Agent.
He said Asian.
Agent.
He said Asian.
Agent.
You know, I always wondered why you don't have any type of receding hairline. And I knew there's Oriental people that
Listen, you can share with us. Agent, secret agent.
All that love, all that love.
Secret. Okay, then. Well, you got to admit, if people try to reach you, they got to be really pretty much high tech because I don't know how to reach you.
You know, and the other thing, Bill, is, you know, we played that Charlton Heston thing last week, The Keeper of the Flame. And I received a few emails. People wanted to hear that again.
Well, that's
so awesome. While we're waiting for the caller,
yeah,
I figure we'll play that. We'll talk. We'll let this play, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk about it.
I hope everybody be patient and enjoy this. This kind of, it makes me feel, it just makes me feel good, you know?
Right.
It just makes me feel.
You believe in the Second Amendment to the Constitution, right? I mean, you consider yourself a keeper of the flame, and you intend to pass that torch on to the next generation of Americans. So tell me, if you could see into the next century and know whether the Second Amendment is still intact or in shambles, would you look? If someone could predict the outcome a half a hundred years from now of all your conviction and commitment and hard work, would you listen? Well, you can.
What guarantees me freedom? Oh. That's a hard question. What is the Constitution? I don't know. Gives me freedom? I don't know.
Well,
it seems, Bill, when I played this Tuesday, we had a guy on, I told you, from the World of Soul Motorcycles.
Yes, yes. East Coast.
No, Midwest.
Midwest, I'm sorry.
And, he had never heard this. So I played it for him. And he was really surprised. And after that, I joined that forum they have.
Uh-huh.
And I started receiving emails about where to get this. So I posted it for him to listen to. And then I got others asking that they couldn't find it or couldn't get it. They wanted me to play it today. That's the only reason I'm playing it right now.
Be the keepers of the flame.
No, I do not think everybody should have a right to own a gun.
What is the Constitution? I don't know.
Guns? In general, are very bad.
What is the Constitution? I don't know. What's the Constitution? I don't know.
Will they carry the torch?
I have no idea what the Second Amendment is.
An amendment is...
Oh, I know what the Second Amendment is.
Let me think. What is the Second Amendment?
You got me there. I don't know.
What's the Second Amendment? I don't know.
Something's gone wrong. For all our vigilance and battle scars over the Bill of Rights, have we let the flame of freedom's torch grow cold? Because there can be no torch to pass where there's no flame. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The Second Amendment. Textbooks ignore it, schools teach against it, clergy preach against it, politicians legislate against it, media ridicule it, movies pervert it, courts avoid it, and too many gun owners permit it. So it's not unreasonable that with one lost generation, we could lose the Second Amendment forever. Because we didn't teach them what the battle's all about. We didn't strike that spark in their hearts that lights the fire for freedom. So why does that belief burn so brightly in you and me? Our core beliefs are the work of all the men and women of our childhoods. A constellation of people who orbited around us, tugging here, pushing there, day after day as we grew, shaping our beliefs, carving our characters until we became who we are. You remember them? Parents who didn't just talk about failures, but who lived out those failures. The gym coach whose knotted rope taught you to pull your own weight. The scoutmaster who surely had a job and a family to tend to, but always made time for you. The clergyman whose moral compass helped guide your way. The grocery store owner who played along with mom in an unscripted scolding that ended your candy pilfering days forever. The principal whose handmade paddle was somehow comforting. It meant punishment was certain. So was forgiveness. The neighborhood teenager who bragged about joining the army, but whose silence after the war taught you even more. The teacher who stood up for the weak and stared down the bully. The neighborhood policeman who didn't just know the law, he knew everything you were football game. During the national anthem, unknowingly guided your hand over your heart. And that woman by him, her eyes fixed in the flag, taught you patriotism isn't just for guys. All those people, they gave you a sense of geography about your life, where you fit in, right and wrong. Each of us is a tapestry of threads woven by all of them. They understood their part in the pattern of personal responsibility, freedom, honesty, justice, the Bill of Rights. That is the living torch they passed to us. Imagine if every kid had learned what we learned, that without a Second Amendment, by what means could a free people expect to protect freedom? We learned that. History proves it. Common sense confirms it, and any school kid can grasp it. Only people who are free to own firearms can remain free people. If every kid could just learn that a gun is a thing to be handled with care and respect, yes, honor. Because beneath all the trappings of hobby and camaraderie and sport, a firearm is the fundamental symbol of our freedom. Because a firearm gives the most common man the most simple and supreme right to pursue life and liberty and happiness in accordance with and under the protection of the law. That's why the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That is the passion we must ignite in those who follow. All of us who feel that surge of pride, who cheer with the genuine glory of a free people able to protect their own freedom. So what are we doing about it? Yes, we didn't blame violent crime or Sarah Brady or the media or bullet-riddled movies, and certainly some blame is due. But what effort has our generation spent to make sure the next generation feels as deeply as we do? If we focus on anti-gun legislation but ignore an anti-gun generation, if we spend years as pro-gun activists but only minutes as pro-gun mentors, if we've earned the support of this generation of office holders, but not the next generation of voters, we will have failed. We must tell it, teach it, live it, breathe it. Every one of us born beneath this blessed American sky has rights nobody can take away, because no one gave them to us. They were ours from the beginning. Each of us has a birth certificate, but it didn't give us life. It just put on paper what everybody already knows. We are alive. In the same way, the Constitution didn't give us rights. It just put on paper what everybody already knows. Free to say and write and think and work and worship as we choose. We're free to own a firearm, and that right shall not be infringed. If you consider yourself a freedom-loving patriot, you can't shirk your duty to teach America's young to understand the Second Amendment, to revere it, to embrace it, to defend it, and in their turn, to bequeath it. That's what we have to do. We, the teachers, the neighbors, the clergy, the uncles, the grocers, the legislators, the scoutmasters, the parents, the Americans. Only then can we pass the torch with that sacred flame that lights the American way.
You know, the big guy, Moses himself speaking there for a moment, you can't help but just feel that he's not just saying the words, he's feeling the words.
Yeah.
He's trying to say, I'm ringing the bell, wake up America, don't you see what's going on all around us? I'm not a proponent of a big government. In fact, I wish we had stronger state rights. I wish the states would stand up to the government instead of going the other way. We had manifest destiny. We're going to go from the Atlantic Ocean to Pacific Ocean, and we push all the way across this country to make this a great country, but somehow the government has become stronger than the states.
Yep.
And you can make an argument for both ways on this, and anybody wants to disagree, they can, but I thought states' rights were important.
It's like this, Bill. This is another one that I totally agree with. By Charles.
Every time our country stands in the path of danger, an instinct seems to summon her finest first. Those who truly understand her, When freedom shivers in the cold shadow of true peril, it's always the patriots who first hear the call. When loss of liberty is looming, as it is now, the siren sounds first in the hearts of freedom's vanguard. The smoke in the air of our Concord bridges and Pearl Harbors is always smelled first by the farmers who come from their simple homes to find the fire and fight.
Do you see the,
because they know that sacred stuff resides in that wooden stock and blue steel. Something that gives the most common man the most uncommon of freedoms. When ordinary hands can possess such an extraordinary instrument, that symbolizes the full measure of human dignity and liberty. That's why those five words issue an irresistible call to us all, and we must. So,
you want to describe what he did, Bill?
Well, I don't know my weapons as well as you did, but somebody just handed him a musket.
Yep.
Okay, one of the original weapons at the beginning of freedom.
Yep.
He's standing on stage in front of the podium carrying that big old musket. What a
visual. So, as we set out this year to defeat the divisive forces that would take freedom away, I want to say those fighting words for everyone within the sound of my voice to hear and to heed. And especially for you, Mr. Gore. From my cold, dead hands.
Oh, man, I got shivers on that. Oh. He's got that gun raised up over his head. Whoa.
Standing ovation.
Screwdriver. I keep thinking
every time
he's getting a little more sadder and disappointed because America, he knew the values that he stood for, his parents stood for. I believe he sees them eroding because we are getting too lackadaisical about it.
Mm-hmm.
We are getting too content.
Right.
And this man saying to me, saying, with little breath I have, I'm trying to pass it on to you people. And what Screwdriver and I are trying to say to you is listen to what he's saying, because if we lose it, we only can blame ourselves.
That's it. And, yeah, it's like, where do we go from here, you know? The more people that don't help, everybody fighting. If we all just came together, Bill.
America's the melting pot of the world. But we're not talking about colors or religion here. We're talking about ideology. We're talking about laws. We're talking about a lifestyle which all races, all religion can live together. But if we keep letting them take our rights away from us, one day we won't have any rights.
No.
I don't know what my grandchildren are going to be like growing up.
Exactly. Hopefully they got a job compared to Social Security.
I'm going to try not to talk too much about that because, man, I'm in the hole. I know you're in the hole. Most of everybody I know is in the hole. And by the hole, I don't mean we're destitute, but I'm talking about we are not where we were in 2005.
No.
2005, you and I had a few bucks in our pocket, and I'm not trying to deny that. I got change in my pocket, and that's different 2005.
It's like there's a group called Creed. Bill?
True, yes. Sir.
And they came out with this song a few years ago. And I think it's appropriate because this is what everybody is doing. They're creating their own prison.
Mm-hmm.
big stakes to incredible Nevada, where the stage is always set for breathtaking adventures. Like all
roads,
the scenic Silver Spring Highway Speed Trail. Get your free Nevada visitor's guide at Travel.
Listen to this, though.
Talk about that again, because there's a few comments I wanted to make on that.
Go ahead.
Caller, you're on, please. Identify yourself, please. Caller?
Yeah, I think it's me.
Well, it'd be you. Who is you?
How you doing, Art?
This is Art.
That's it. Art. Not Art from Poway. No, this is just Art, because he is world famous. He doesn't even nothing. This is Art. That's it. Go ahead.
That's it.
Art, the great guru from up in the mountaintop. Talk to us, brother.
I was listening to you guys, and you're talking about the people and coming together.
Right.
And I know you've brought it up many times that if the motorcycle community ever quit its inside bickering and then feuding, that they could be a political force to be reckoned with.
That's correct.
You know, and I've seen it only in the fact that when we were trying to make contact about the Unruh Act and a few things like that, that when the community actually came together, we did have power.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And I'm hoping on May 23rd, we're trying to get everybody to come together in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get the people up there, then we will have some power if we can show them numbers. You know, you watch these, I was watching the Texas group, and they were doing the Sputnik Memorial.
And they're good talking, guy. He's a little off base, but he's okay with me. Sputnik was.
Sputnik was. He really was. And he was dedicated as could be.
Mm-hmm.
But they're talking 10,000 people in the Capitol, 10,000 bikes. This year they were talking about getting 10,000 bikes in the Capitol for their day on the Capitol steps to say, we're here and you need to listen. It'd be nice if we could even get 2,000, you know, versus the normal 200 or 300. But we've got a lot of people in California, and if we don't pull together, they're just going to pull us all apart.
Art, I have to warn you about something, and I want you to take this as a warning. You need to be careful with your attitude, mister. You need to be careful the way you think. I'm actually hearing some of my thoughts in what you're saying. And Screwdriver, without identifying the motorcycle rights organization, what did they text, what did they tell you? How did they describe me?
Progressive.
Oh, do you hear that?
Ah.
I'm not gonna say which. They said, that Bill Kennedy, he's progressive. I think, wow. I looked up the dictionary. I think it was okay, but I don't know. Be careful.
I think that means you work for an insurance company.
Oh my God! Well,
yeah.
One on one, we all talk about this, but we have to lose our egos. How important is? I hate this. I'm the state rep for 10 years. You know what? I don't give a shit if you're in for one day or 10 years. We have to lose our attitudes and our egos. And Art, you've heard me say this on many a show. The message is more important than messengers. Why do you need a phony title? Why do you need some, hey, I've done this and I've done that and you owe me? We don't owe you nothing. If you want to join an organization, you want to help, good for you. I applaud that. But stop treating the rest of us like, hey, I deserve something because I've been working for so many years. We
yep.
thank you for your work. That's all you're going to get out of us. Now, please, if you can help us, please do. But if all the people I've met in the organizations had John Del Santo's attitude,
right.
I would think there would be a great measuring stick.
Right.
And yet I come across people, and they email you saying build this and build that, and then all this negativity. What negativity? All right, you've heard me for a while. I don't think you've ever heard me attack anyone.
It's not just you. It's
oh, yeah.
You.
It's
me
well,
too, because we're in the same canoe.
It's osmosis.
Yeah, we're in the same canoe.
That's why I'm worried about Art, for God's sake. So start saying, oh, no. Art's starting to, he could be a danger. We may have to get rid of him next, you know?
It's just, and Bill, it's just, you've been there. You've seen me take on the cops.
Yeah.
You've seen me, you sat in the room with me, and I informed them of their fucking job, and they didn't like it.
Exactly. The point is that everybody doesn't have to confront the police. Everybody doesn't have to go in the police station.
But sometimes
find what you can do.
Exactly.
No, find what you can do, whatever it is.
Before you go in.
Yeah.
And then if you don't get any action, then you go in.
But if you feel uncomfortable, find out what you can do to help the motorcycle community.
That's it.
Now, Art is a great PR person. There's ours out there schmoozing, ours out there collecting information. Everybody does different things. John Del Santo, his health is bad. He's with the Bait and Bolt also, I believe. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I want to
move no, on. He's not with Bolt.
Oh, okay. Now Bolt be calling more names. I said the wrong thing. He is bad health, and yet whatever time he's got left on his earth, he and his wife, Fran, are doing everything they can for all of our rights.
Right.
Art, in my opinion, does not have one ounce of ego or attitude. He's a straight shooter guy trying to do something. Why can't we find more guys with John Del Santo? Why can't we find more guys with Art? Why can't more people listen to us and say, I like what Art is saying? You don't agree with me? You don't agree with Screwdriver? Fine. Well, look at this guy, Art. He's not running for any office. Nobody's giving him any money.
No.
He's taking his own time to say, look, I'm trying to do something for the community.
Yeah, and...
What, he is taking money from somebody?
No, he's not. No, he's not taking
no
money.
Good,
no,
dirty...
No.
No, no, okay. No, he's
not,
okay, guy. Back again. Art's okay. Okay.
He's not taking any money, Bill.
All
but
right.
I want you to... I'm going to share this with you because you just sent it to me.
You got nude pictures of Art?
No, I don't have nude pictures of Art.
All right.
Let me get to you. There we go. Let's see. Okay. I'll let you read this, Bill, because this just came... This came yesterday. Late yesterday. It says, beware of motorcycles. On your way to the local 6 meeting on Sunday morning, which will be at the park down in OB, glance up at the electric signs hanging over the highways. It's going to be a pleasant surprise.
A pleasant surprise.
John got him to put up beware of motorcycles again. Going to run for the month of May.
Well, a motorcycle awareness night. Art, is it May's motorcycle awareness? Is that correct, Art? Art, you still with us? See that? We started talking, he left.
Yeah.
Oh, good, okay. I thought maybe the motorcycle organization people had just cut you off or something like that, you know?
No.
Tell us about Motorcycle Awareness Month, will you, brother?
I'm really not real hot on what's going on. I don't really know. I know they're starting to bring out more notices, and the only problem I've seen is it seems to be like when they go to Motorcycle Awareness Month, it means they want to crack down on motorcycle riders and enforce motorcycle laws more instead of trying to make the other 3-plus wheels people aware of us and look.
Well, the other day, Fran called me and said what she experienced last year in May when they first put the sign up. If you remember, 9 people made a big deal out of why motorcycles got the right to do things that they couldn't do in their car. You remember that?
Yep, they were pissed.
And just 9 people out of all these people, all the 29-point-something million people
in
California,
nine
people made a big deal out of nothing because they were jealous. And Fran called me the other day, and she said in her experience driving, she said it seems to be, to her, that she experienced, the younger people under 20, between 20 and 30, were the ones that would, when she was splitting lanes or whatever, would try and close the lane on her so she had to stop, you know, doing stupid shit or look in the mirror and pretend they're going to change lanes and then not change lanes, you know, to stop her or to impede her flow of traffic. So
yep.
She's right now she was going to call today, but they switched her hours, Bill, so she's
going
to split shift. And because of what she does for a living, they don't have anybody else they could take her place for her to call.
You know, I want to switch gears very slightly. You mentioned the fact that one of the guys that was pulling a trailer on a motorcycle, the freeway signs, and maybe, Art, you can tell me, how fast can you travel on a California freeway pulling a trailer?
55 miles an hour.
That means all vehicles.
Yep, anybody with a trailer, including big rigs.
One of the Honda Goldwing type guys came by and they said, you know, Bill, I got slapped because I was rolling about 75. He said, I just found out that we cannot do more than 55. And I wasn't even aware of that. Well, I don't pull a trailer, so I don't know. But that was something for you trailer people out there. And we're not just a Harley-Davidson show, we're a motorcycle show.
In fact, we're motorcycle radio.
You
mean Tiny didn't clue you in on that?
Which Tiny?
Tiny. All the rides you guys take to L.A., he didn't clue you in on that?
Oh, we knew the truck and trailers. I didn't know the motorcycle pulling a trailer.
Yeah.
Well, he never said, why would he know about that? You're making this stuff, aren't you?
No, I'm not making it up.
Okay. Tiny and I trail the big rig, we pull the trailer.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Art and I are talking about motorcycles and trailer. I don't know who you're talking to or what you're talking to. Art and I are having a nice conversation over here.
Okay, here.
All right, then.
This just came in. This just,
don't give up on us, Art. It'll get better.
This just came in from the East Coast, Bill. It says, new fines for distracted driving in California. Okay? Came out yesterday at 10:56 a.m. Okay? It seems this guy, Matt Baum, with thousands of Californians killed every year in car crashes, there's more pressure than ever to clamp down on distracted driving. We're putting on makeup, sending a text, using the city's new parking finder app, or making out with a friend. You're looking at fines or shaving your cooch. You're looking in fines reaching into hundreds of dollars.
You made that up. This didn't say about shaving anything. I'm looking. What is your problem? This is legit.
Art wants to hear this. So is the one in Florida where the chick got a ticket for shaving her cooch, remember?
I remember that. I was wondering how you're going to fit that in. He's never going to shave his cooch. He doesn't need to worry about these things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you lose Art now?
No.
All right.
Yep.
He's still there.
I don't know. He might say enough.
Somebody's trying to call. But whether you're putting on makeup or sending a text, using this...
Art doesn't care about putting makeup on.
Listen, this goes with the story.
Okay.
A bill to raise the fines is strong support, passing the Senate 24-12, according to the CC Times. Some Republicans objected, pointing out that the fines could make drivers angry. They're already angry anyway, sitting in traffic. First-time offenders will pay a little over $300, with a future infraction costing them over $500, Bill. The bill also imposes fines for using phones on a bike, although they are far lower, less than 100, since the bike accidents are far less frequent and deadly than car crashes. So everybody that's riding with a phone on the side of their helmet,
yes, can that's get every single police officer.
Can get, exactly.
That's every single police officer.
Can get a $100 fine.
That's right.
Okay.
I was wondering how long people are going to start talking about the police officers with their phones.
That's it. Previous fine increases, or they're wearing a Bluetooth in the car.
Yeah.
Previous fines increases coincided with lower rates of distracted driving, although data is limited and it's impossible to draw a direct connection. It's likely that a driver education campaigns also had significant impact on correcting behavior. The California Highway Patrol awards millions of dollars in grants to local jurisdictions to enforce laws and educate drivers. Motorcycle safety, only checkpoints, Bill.
No.
They're not using it for anything but motorcycle-only checkpoints. And there's never been a better time to induce some safety into the state's roads with recent wave of crashes claiming lives and property. Yesterday in Santa Rosa, a woman was thrown from her car when she skidded across the 101. Not long after, another crash happened just a few lanes over, wrecking five cars. Santa Rosa has seen particularly high volume of crashes recently, both on the highway and surface streets. Police officers have launched a program to crack down on unsafe motorcycle drivers. Now, they just talked about cars.
Apples and oranges.
But they're going after
apples and oranges.
They're going after the motorcycles. Italian experienced nearly 50 motorcycle crashes in 2009.
What state was this?
Santa Rosa, California.
Okay.
What happened in 2010? Now, our friend Tiger Lily out of Nevada, this is what she writes. California is fucked up. As for the media, does it not smell of anti-Republican? I think making citizens angry is a very legit reason not to pass the bill like this. Doesn't California already have no talking on a phone while driving law, but it's okay if you're using a Bluetooth? I bet the Bluetooth stock went up. I'd be interested in exactly who is behind this bill, who benefits. I'm thinking the lobbyists were Leos. I wonder if they did the same spiel about carnage on the road when they did it at our transportation committee in Nevada. Dave had a good counter on that carnage statement. If you can't deal with carnage, get another job. Breeze enlightened me on talking about the unintended consequences of those bills, like people being extra distracted by not by appearing to be distracting, causing more carnage. Oh my God, if it wasn't for Dave and a grandkid coming in a month, I'd be riding all the way south. No passport, just sneak into Mexico and see how much further south I could get on a scooter.
We don't use our passports coming back and forth.
No.
We do have a law, but we tell them when we come back to America, we're United States citizens. Are you going to prevent us from coming to our own country? Why should I have to show my passport? And we have not showed it once.
Just to let you know, Bill, just about 4 weeks ago, NHTSA came out and said fatalities were at a low not seen since 1949, Bill.
Now, you crossed it. Well, you've not showed your passport in years now, right?
No. No.
We don't have to show our passports when I go into Mexico. Only when I'm stopped coming back into America where they interrogate me. How long was I there? Where did I go? Where did I stay? Which I don't want to answer. And then they say, can I see your passport? And I show them my driver's license.
Right.
I have a passport. The point is, I don't think I should have to do this in my own country.
Art, have you been to Mexico recently?
No, I haven't been down there in a couple of years.
Okay, a couple years ago when you went, how did you come across? Did they ask you for your passport or just your driver's license?
When I came back, I flew back, and I had to go through customs.
That's different. You have to show them.
Okay.
Yeah. And actually, I got through with a affidavit signed by, I got it off the Marine Corps saying I was a U.S. citizen, listing all my stuff, and I had my driver's license with me.
How far did you fly in from? What city in Mexico?
Cabo.
Cabo? Okay.
Yeah, we rode down to Cabo with the Eagle Rider Association.
Okay.
And then flew back.
You stopped by Sammy Hager's bar and have a drink?
Nah.
Cabo Wabo?
No, never did.
Oh, shoot. You're right in the same town. You should stop by and visit Sammy down there. Get his autograph. Got a free drink, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if he was there.
And he has some rentals down there, too. We got another caller. We don't want you to go away, Art, but let's bring the next caller in. Caller, Pete, you're on the air. Are you with us, brother?
Hey, what's happening? What's going on?
How are you doing back there? We're talking about a little this, a little that. We're talking about the problems we have crossing back into America.
Well, I got one for you. I went to court with my brother today, and they had me leave the courtroom. The judge did. My brother had a court date, and I went with him. And the judge, the female judge, had me leave the courtroom because I had Nazi gang tattoos, she said, and I had the shirt I was wearing wasn't appropriate. It was a support shirt. And I have lightning bolts on my neck and stuff like that, and the judge didn't want me in the courthouse, so she had me leave. I thought it was bullshit myself, but I didn't argue with her. But my brother ended up getting off, so.
Yeah, you don't want to rock the boat when it's your brother's outcome that's going to be affected by it.
I want to mention to you that
one of the red and white boys was called for jury duty.
He went down to the
courthouse. The officer took his jacket off, his collars off. He said no. They refused to the courthouse. He was not allowed to go to jury duty. And he went around and he sued them all. And they said, you, as an American citizen, have a right to show up. If he wants to wear his motorcycle affiliation jacket, that's his prerogative. They officially apologized to the Hell's Angel for not letting him go and do his jury duty. And I thought that was a big deal.
That's like when I went that time last year for jury duty, remember? I walked in wearing shirts and stuff and a bandana. They asked me to take the bandana off.
Well, bandana, I can understand. That's a, you know.
Yeah. No. I was taking it off anyway, but they reiterated they would like me to take it off. Then when they seen the shirt after I took off my jacket, they told me to put my jacket back on. I said I don't have to.
It's funny how you know what it means, you know. Somebody, you'd never know that, like a 65-year-old judge, female judge, would know what that means, you know, on a shirt. You know, it's funny how they know that, and they say, you know, that's not appropriate for my courtroom. You have to leave. And it's like, damn, how did you even know what the hell this means? You know,
there's
so many different shirts, and there's so many different things that the club uses. And this judge knew what it meant, and she didn't like my ink, and she had me leave. So I was angry. I almost acted up, but I'm on probation. I can't do anything. I got to be careful. So I left, and I waited, and my brother got off. So we weren't there, probably there about an hour or so. But, to throw an insult at me like that, you know, Nazi tattoos and gang tattoos and whatever. It's nothing I haven't heard before, you know, but there was like 20, 30 people in the courtroom, and they were all looking at me like, oh, my God, you know. Which was funny because when I went to court a month ago for myself, I had to go back to court so my lawyer could adjust some fees that were thrown at me, some fines. I walked right in with a support shirt on, tattoo showing, everything, short sleeve shirt, and the judge, who's a known asshole, excuse my language, said nothing. And then Gino came in, and he had his colors on from his club. And he's not in a 1% club, but he has a three-piece patch, and that court could care less. They didn't care. But this court did. It's in a little ritzy town, and the judge didn't want me there, and I had to leave.
Yeah, in small towns, they usually they run the show.
It's the prerogative of the judge. He has great powers which he can use and not use. I know that I've been called to jury duty at least once a year. I never dodge it. I never make excuses up. I always go down. I step up, and they look at me, and I dress a dicky black shirt, you know, long sleeve and black Levi's, and I'm standing there, and they go, you're excused.
You're wearing your jacket.
Why doesn't somebody just ask me a question? You know, how do you feel about drugs or guns, anything? I stand up, and they say, you're excused. Thank you. Go home. Why do you even bother me anymore if you'll not allow me to go to court? Not that I want to go on jury duty or anything like that. The point is, why are you rejecting me just because of the way I look? Why don't you ask me some questions? Am I not intelligent enough to understand it? Do you think it's some type of a drug problem and I'll be biased on? Why don't you at least ask me some questions? They won't.
Yeah, actually, you'd be a good candidate for jury duty because you make some good points there, you know. You're right. You're absolutely right. But they go by appearance, you know that. You know, they automatically think, oh, look at this guy, you know. Bad news, you know. My mom told me when I went to court, when I dressed up, which I usually don't, I dressed up for my trial, and she said, you need to tie your hair, I have long hair. My mother said, you need to tie your hair back in a ponytail. I says, no, I can't do that because I get lightning bolts on my neck. And so I let my hair down, and I looked nice. I had a nice clothes on, a suit. But the judge, he just looked at me, and he's like, this guy's bad news, you know. And I'm really not, you know. I'm not perfect, but he definitely, in today's incident, just really topped it off. But I was so tired, guys. I was so tired when I was in court, I didn't even give a shit at that point what the judge said to me. I just walked out, man.
Well, you affect your brother. Your brother's case depends upon that. You have no right to jeopardize your brother's case.
No.
This case here, you got to suck it up because the purpose of being there was to help your brother, get your brother off if you can. It wasn't there to make a point. So I agree with you and I applaud you that you sucked it up and walked out of the court and let your brother do the best he could.
Thank you. I had to bite my tongue, though, Bill. You know, I had to bite my tongue. I had to. I wanted to say something, but I didn't. I would have. I even put it on my Facebook page. I would have went out of there in handcuffs, you know. But I walked out. I don't need the trouble. My brother doesn't need the trouble. He got off, and that was that. But, you know, whatever. I'm so used to it now. It's like, I'm just going to look at more
tattoos
now.
Your case with your brother.
You know. My other brother's a tattoo artist, you know. So he wants to ink me all up. I'm like, no, I'm not really, you know, I'm not a big tattoo guy. I have some, you know. Now I'm definitely going to go get some more tattoos now. Oh, man. I tell you, these people, boy, they judge us, don't they? You know, I was told that the only person that could judge us is God, but we get cops and judges and lawyers and feds and this one and that one judging us on a daily basis, you know. Unbelievable.
One of the programs that I try to do is every time we get a new mayor in Oceanside, we give him a week or two to settle in, and I call up, make an appointment. And I want to sit down and have a conversation with this gentleman or lady, and I want to know what their plans are for my city in Oceanside. I want to know what their plans are for the police department. I'm asking that person who works for me, I'm the taxpayer, what are you doing in my city? I want them to understand I'm trying to be articulate, I'm trying to be honest, I'm trying to be upfront, but I want them to understand when we find people that are abusing your authority, we're going to communicate that. We're going to go through the channels. Now, how do you feel about that? And I got to admit, and Screwdriver, you back me up here. Every one of our mayors has said, well, you know, we appreciate what you guys are doing, and you got a point, you got a case, you should pursue it. And if you're getting the runaround, come to us, the mayor of the city. So far, not one mayor has backed off and said, you know, we don't give a shit about you people.
No, in fact, a couple weeks ago, a guy said he wanted to take over 700 bikers to his house because they were wonderful people.
Indeed. That was our local mayor. And but that was, see, we're priming the pot. This mayor don't know who we are. He doesn't know about the bikers or anything. So rather have him get in the job as a mayor and be filled by negative statements by, say, city hall, police department, fire, whatever it is, let us confront him from the beginning and tell him we are businessmen, we are citizens, we are voters, we're parents, grandparents, blah, blah, blah. We have a right to know what's going on in our city. And when you approach that, not attacking the people, but saying, we want to know, and we will stand up to those people abuse their power.
Just like the look you gave me when I wanted to tell him after he said that.
I could have hit you in the head.
After he said that, when I wanted to say, hey, why don't you tell that to the chief?
We got every single buddy up there speaking. He's trying to say, it's nice to have these bikers. He's appreciated that. He didn't know much about bikers before. And you're ready to start a debate. I can tell right away about wearing the helmets or something. And you definitely read in my eyes, not here, not now. We had all of these people that came together, and they could never come together in Oceanside anywhere but at my shop. It wouldn't be allowed. The mayor said, these are good people. And you, mister, ready to start doing some philosophical debate on the rights of wearing the helmet law. No. There's a time and a place. And
uh-huh.
You know, you've read my eyes. So.
Okay, there's a time and a place. We're going to bring this caller on, see who this is. Hello, caller.
Hi. This is Erica
619.
McGrath.
Pardon me?
This is Erica McGrath.
How you doing?
Oh, hey.
Hey, guys.
Is this Erica?
Yes,
whose
sir.
Little brother is Ryan Holmes?
That's the one.
And Ryan's going to be speaking to me on the radio here?
You know, Ryan is busy speaking to a bunch of people and in another group this evening. I couldn't get him hooked up on the line, but I wanted to make sure I called in and did what I could do.
Okay. Trudeau, would you tell Erica who's on the phone listening beside her, please?
This is Pete out of Boston.
Hello.
We just had Art on from Poway. He's sitting in the weeds.
Hi,
Pete
guys.
From Boston is on, and then I got another caller, but we got another caller from 619, Bill, and then we got, I think this one here is, hold on one second, Erica.
Okay.
Hello, 447.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Who's this?
That's Evil Lee out of England.
Oh, England. I thought you said this was 619.
No, I said we got a 619 and a 447.
Oh, okay, then.
Well, I don't know what number this gives off. This might even give off a completely different number altogether.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we have Erica on the phone, Pete, and Evil Lee. And we're going to let Erica talk about what she called in for, and then we'll bring you guys in. But I wanted to give her the chance to talk.
Okay,
Erica, since we're going to put this in your hand, can you tell us a little bit about this event that you, your friends are all doing? Can you give us a little nickel version? And then I'll join some of the gentlemen ask some questions about it, if you would.
Sure, that'd be great. Well, we're inviting everyone to come and join us for an amazing rock show fundraiser. It's going to be a hard rock, heavy metal, Iron Horse kind of style thing in Ramona, which used to be a one-horse town, but I don't see anything wrong with making it a little bit of an Iron Horse town for a couple hours for a good cause. The couple of bands that are playing are committed to raising, they're trying to raise $10,000 to change the lives of the victims and families that were involved in the October saddle tramps accident in San Diego.
Tell them, please, who the saddle tramps are. Remember, you got a guy from Boston, you got a guy
okay.
from...
Yeah, they're a local.
They don't know exactly what the situation is.
Yeah, they're a local rider group out of Lakeside in San Diego, and a group of them had gone out for an annual ride, and a vehicle slammed into the group, and there were several victims that didn't come through. But of the ones that did, that were involved in the incident, a couple of them are coming out of the hospital, and one of them lost their main breadwinner, and there's children involved and at home that need some help, and we'd love to cushion their landing a little bit coming out of the hospital and help these victims out. So a couple of the local Southern California rock bands from Los Angeles, we've got Cage Nine. They just opened up for Ozzy Osbourne in Panama last week, and they're a real hot band. And then our local Given Life with Ryan Holmes is the lead singer, and he puts on a real good show. It's sort of something accustomed to the rock band Tool. These two bands are going to play. It's from 6 o'clock to 9:30 on May the 21st in Ramona, which is the same evening as there's another ride here in San Diego that evening. I believe it's they call it the May Ride. A bunch of bike groups get together and take off and have a good time. But this would be a good polishing up for the evening. It starts at 6 that night, and Ramona's a good little town, and we'd love to see you out there.
Now, of course, Evil E is both in London, so he's probably wondering the question. If he comes all the way over here,
that's okay.
You got a chance to check on any places, hotels or anything yet, and restaurants, or are you still checking it out right now?
Yeah, no, I don't. I'm going to have to work that out and maybe do that on another show. I'm not the actual event coordinator. I'm just kind of the press master. I get the media involved and that kind of thing. So our guy that's our event coordinator, he's tied up tonight also, so I wasn't able to get him on the phone. So I guess that's pretty much what I've got.
Okay. You have my – did Bill give you my email address?
Let's see. I have Strokers, and that's the only one I think I have – I sent something to somebody the other day, but I'm not sure which address I mailed it to. But
send me a copy of the flyer.
Yeah.
And I'll put it on the blog, which gets anywhere from 27,000 to 30 hits a day.
Wow.
One thing I'd like to say, and I don't want you to leave yet. Do you think we can fit the Given Life, the band? Do you think we can just work on their songs before we check out tonight?
Yeah.
She's recommending this song, Make My Stand.
Okay.
I've not heard it yet, obviously, but she says it's okay. If it's a bad song, we'll find her. Where she is.
Okay. You can take a piece of my hide.
I had a couple questions.
Talk to us.
Go ahead, Pete.
Well, I would love to attend, but I can't leave. I live in Massachusetts, Boston.
Oh, what a sweetheart.
And I think it's a wonderful thing that you're doing. Okay. I'd love to attend, but I can't leave the state because I'm on probation. Is there a website? My question is there a website where we could go and make a donation to something like this?
You know, I was just talking to the guys about the 501(c)(3) earlier, and so we've got to get that information hooked up still. What we can do is anybody can email me.
Because I tell you, I had a cousin. My cousin died in the 80s, and he was in the top club in the area, and he was in the club for years. And he was on his bike. He was speeding with his brother, and
right.
A car hit him, and he hit a tree, and he broke his neck, and he died.
Uh-huh.
And so I can relate to when tragedy strikes, especially when somebody gets hit on a motorcycle. I think back about my cousin and his funeral and just everything that went down and the terrible accident that he had. So when I hear something like this and I can't attend it because I can't leave the effing state.
Yeah, well, your sentiment is certainly heartfelt, and we really appreciate that.
I always ask people. Not just on radio shows, but online and even in person. Is there some type of website where somebody can donate to help the families of the people that lost a relative or a family member, or, you know, if there is one, or if there's going to be one created.
Find that right now.
I would like to have it, please.
That's awesome. Let's see.
Are they still using the one that they put out before?
You know, I was looking for. I was just looking for that. I know that the 501c3, I think, is through the East County Posse, and I'm not sure where a link would be, but I will have to find that information out. I can give my email address, and I know that they did mention that the Saddle Tramps website had something on there, but I'm not sure what it is. I haven't had a chance to look it up yet. I just rolled in myself about 10 minutes ago. I will be checking.
Erica, we're going to need to have you come back on the air again. I'm not cutting off for right now, but we need Erica McGrath to come on the phone air, like the events May 21st.
Right.
So Thursday before May 21st. How's that sound, Erica? Maybe come on and talk a little bit more?
That would be the 19th.
Let us know about the hotel situation.
Okay.
Or the 17th, because it's on Tuesdays, and the show's on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Okay.
So if the 19th doesn't work out for you, send me an email on the 16th for the 17th, and we'll go from there.
Let me explain this to you. I don't work on the Tuesday.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
Work. You're
I
the
know.
Show by yourself.
That's
you
okay.
want her to call and talk to you.
That's all right.
You don't even know the girl. I met the girl.
Oh, yeah,
the girl's call on Thursday and talk with
don't
me.
Don't be a hater.
Why
bro.
Don't you have other people call in during
don't.
Your time?
They do.
No,
don't be a hater.
It's not all about you. It's not about you. I'm telling you right now.
It's all about everybody, huh?
I call them just to hear these two guys go at it.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You know, I got a surgery coming up. I don't know when. I'm going to try to plan that for later in the week. So if I had to guess, I'd say earlier in the week, only I don't know how much activity you guys get. What's a better day, you know?
Well,
whatever's good for you.
Let's put it this way, Erica. You have the 3rd, the 10th, the 17th, or you have the 5th, the 12th, and the 19th.
There fits in your itinerary.
And,
we'll get the word
and
out,
if you
get
call
the word.
If you call in on the 12th, we're going to be doing a premiere in Hollywood for a movie called I Ride, and we're going to do the show live.
On the 12th?
Oh, no, see, people are thinking those damn California people. We will elaborate just a bit. There is a motorcycle premiere. We're trying to keep it low-keyed, and Screwdriver and I have VIP, blah, blah, blah. That was going to be low-keyed. I wasn't going to mention that at all.
Well.
Because you know now,
but
Pete and Boss are going to think, those goddamn California guys, VIP.
First of all, Bill, you're not even from California, so there you go.
Okay, how about May the 10th? I think I'm going to throw May the 10th out there. I like the number. Let's
you're from Boston.
10th.
That's fine. That's Mother's Day, so.
Oh, is it? Good. It'll give me an out. Just kidding.
We'll have a lot of mothers on here.
All I
just
got
went
left
on their
my
website.
Mom.
I just went on a Saddle Tramps website.
Okay.
And there's nothing for 2011 on there as far
right.
as any events or
right, I'm
going
to have to get on them about that then. Okay. Yeah, they're out there in Laughlin, I think. I tried to get them on the phone, but they said they were out at a run in Laughlin, and I couldn't get them in Nevada. So I couldn't get them to come to the phone because they were going to be tied up at this time.
Actually,
so.
This is a decent website for your listeners, Phil. Bill, I'll read it. Oh, I should send it. I'll put it in the chat as well. I found it. www.sd, as in David, Holly, is my Boston accent for you, riders.com. So it's www.sdharleyriders.com, and there's a list of clubs, big list of clubs on there, and a lot of
Correct.
Info.
Cool.
Let me put it on the chat, too.
People, I want you to understand this here. The Saddle Tramps, they're not a new club. They're not a bunch of new guys and all that. There's nothing wrong with that. But these guys have got some miles on the road. They got a lot of withered faces.
You know what, I can tell you. Sorry, Erica, you don't happen to know Dave Alexander?
You know what? I haven't met any of these guys, but I keep hearing that these are that this is the kind of people I should be with because I'm one of them. So I'm just out here trying to help my brother, you know, promote this thing because I do publicity and photographs. And I used to come by Kennedy's about a decade ago and photograph and hang out, but I don't know anybody real well. I just talked to a gentleman on the phone a little earlier from Saddle Tramps named Dan, and the guy's a sweetheart and a half. A lot of hard.
I can tell you a quick story about Dave. We went back to, we all went back for the 100th anniversary in Milwaukee.
Uh-huh.
And trip was fine. Everybody made it there. Everybody made it back. We weren't back 2 days. We come out of work at 32nd Street, and a guy, Dave, took off. I was right behind him, and a guy took off from the curb, turned right into him, and Dave happened to end up losing his right leg from the knee down.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. It didn't let him stop. Didn't stop him.
Yeah. I hear you.
But they're a good club. They all had a lot of age on them. What I mean, shows me a lot of miles on the road. They had a confidence. They weren't got their chest puffed up. Anytime we all rolled together,
yeah.
Quick hands. I always felt very comfortable.
Yeah.
Did you
I
say
think
that about 10 years ago you were down in my shop doing some?
Yeah,
bottles?
And I can't remember who drug me down there. You know, a couple of older guys. I even went to one of the Abate meetings. I remember that vaguely. But I used to drink back in those days, and I've been sober for 5 years now, and I don't. You know, there's some dots missing. So, yeah.
I only saying that because Pete and Evelyn, where are the pictures? Guys,
yeah.
I don't know I'm sorry, everybody. I don't have any pictures.
Yeah, no, I wish I still did, but I don't. You know how things kind
Pete
of.
Pete and Evelyn want to know. Where are the pictures? Where are the pictures, Bill?
I got a new camera. Yeah.
But we got another caller from the San Diego area. Let's check.
Everybody
hang for a second.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, caller from 571.
Bill, that's Coyote with a saddle tramp.
Oh,
hey,
perfect.
Coyote, how you doing? Perfect.
You want to tell everybody
I'm
who's on the air with us?
Right?
No, everybody else knows, yeah.
Yeah, just Coyote, we have Pete out of Boston. We have Evilly out of London. We also have Erica on the phone. And if you give me a chance, whoever's got their sound, turn on the sound in the background.
And we are still in Poway?
And no.
He left us. All right.
He left us. But we have another caller. I want to check this one out, and then we'll bring you in, Coyote, okay?
All right. Thank you.
I didn't believe you.
Oh, there you are.
There
okay.
You
called in at a different number. You were muted. But,
All right. Get it back to Coyote, then?
Yeah, but Coyote, this is Art out of Poway.
Hey.
Okay.
Hey, Coyote.
How you doing?
Okay,
well,
we've been on the phone talking to Erica McGraw about this event coming up here, Saturday, May 21st, up in Ramona. Interesting place to have an event up there, as she called it, a one-horse town. Can you tell us anybody about the event, please?
Yeah. You know, I used to live in Ramona, and it was a one-horse town. There's a bunch of iron horses up there now. There's quite a few different clubs that have members up there, and it's a pretty good place. First off, Bill, I'd like to congratulate Erica on her 5 years sober. I got 9.5. I know the road she's been down.
Thank you.
And that's amazing. You know, I figured out at the Laughlin run in 2002 when they had the shootout, I was about 2 months sober. We were all sitting around the bar, and the bartender asked me what I wanted to drink. I told her Diet Coke, and she said, no alcohol? I told her, no, you know what, it ain't against the law to serve me alcohol, but it should be.
Yeah.
But I talked to Ryan earlier, and he told me to give you Chris Waddell, the band manager's phone number.
Great.
They're looking also for some sponsorship for the flyers, and they would contact him. The saddle tramps, this was brought to me. Just I was devastated. I've been on a couple rides with Ryan, and you know, I just never expected them guys to step up and do this. It pretty much caught me off guard.
Aww.
Coyote, how about those lawyers in San Diego that always put their name on the bottom of the flyers? They're doing a lot of free advertisement, paying for the flyers. The COC lawyers?
Yeah.
Are they going to help at all?
Well, those guys, and we're going to get a hold of the Law Tigers.
There we go. Okay.
They've been real supportive. But Chris Waddell is the Given Life band manager. His number is 760-315-3699. And any charitable contributions will be done through East County Posse.
Right.
And their website is eastcountyposse.org.
Okay.
And any donations can be made there. They're a 501c3 established 10 years. They're great people. They've been phenomenal help with all of this, collecting money, doing the 501c3s. They have a website with their address, and everything there is legitimate. They offered to get on board when we had the accident, and it added a ton of accountability for us. You know, most
Tell
people are
question.
A little leery about giving
yeah.
guys like us money.
Yeah, Cody, I was asking a question. I asked Erica. I'm going to ask you. We invite you to come back on a week before the event, whenever you and Erica or her brother can coordinate it. Questions I have to have answered is if your run is coming, ending around 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, places to sleep, hotels, that's something.
There is a hotel just east of the main stage, about two blocks. I don't know the name of it. I will get it.
And
thank you. And 10 miles from there is a Verona Resort and Casino.
Perfect. Good.
And but I will get the name and phone number for the hotel in Ramona. We have a couple members that live up there, and I'll have them go by and see if they can set up, some kind of a discounted group rate or something for folks that want to go up and spend the weekend.
Awesome.
Cathy, I know Ramona is a small town. I don't mean to be disrespectful to the town, but could you check and see if any of the gas stations will be open, like, to 12 o'clock or 24 hours
or
something?
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of stations open up there 24 hours
okay.
a day. There's a Shell station, some independent. Yeah, gas is never an issue up there.
You know, I'm a pain in the ass about details. I'm trying to make sure that we send people up and everybody has a good time.
Oh, you're doing a fantastic thing. I appreciate everything.
And just to let you know, right now, We're in 38 countries. Usually listening. Everybody has the chance to listen to this. It's called in the archive. So at any time you want to listen to it again, you just go to the same website you use to call in or check it out on the computer, and you click on the box, and it'll open up, and it has the past shows.
Helps us with some of our European friends and Asian friends who obviously it's like midnight, whatever time it is
well,
now.
Well, Evil Eve.
They can watch.
Evil Eve, it's about 4
I don't
in the
think Evil Eve sleeps. I don't know why. I don't know. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. He's wide awake. He's alert. I don't know what his schedule is.
He
I think he's
sleep.
A vegetarian.
He doesn't sleep. It's known fact. And does not sleep. I don't know how he does it. There's a 6-hour difference between here and England. And I talk to him at, 2 or 3 in the morning, and it's like 9 a.m., and he hasn't gone to bed yet. You gotta love the guy,
Bill,
the address for that is 626 Main Street in Ramona.
We're gonna break here. I want you, Evilly and Pete, I want you to stand. You can hear Cowdy's voice. This ain't no pretty boy. This ain't no the guy who lives on his motorcycle. And I've said this before. I respect the people that got the miles on the road. Coyote is one of the people who's a stand-up motherfucker. If he says it's 2 o'clock on Tuesdays, don't bother reach for your watch. It's 2 o'clock. It's Tuesday.
I appreciate that, Bill.
Yeah. That wasn't a compliment. That was just a fact. Just a fact.
I know
Pete out there in Boston, one of those guys get along good with you. There's a lot of us out there that, not that we're special or anything, but we seem to live a certain lifestyle. We seem to be comfortable with who we are. I don't have the newest thing. I am who I am. Take me, don't take me. I don't give a shit. I just want to be left alone, and that's why one of the reasons I like talking to Pete. I like Evil Lee. I've always liked talking to Coyote because this is a guy that's saying, this is who I am. You don't like me? Go
and,
somewhere
and,
else.
And then, but see, I don't understand. You just like talking to guys, and you send all the girls to me.
Well, you can't be a virgin the rest of your life. At some point in life, some point, I am hoping some woman is going to take pity on you and say, okay. And
that's
she'll probably give
you
the best 20 seconds of your life. You know that?
Hey, Dan, I have an update on Dave Alexander, too. He has just bought another bike. We're doing some modifications, put the autocross in it, maybe. We're rigging up a locked brake pedal because, you know, his right leg he has no use of.
Right.
But he's back in the saddle, and it has done just wonders for his attitude. He's a new man.
Well, do me a favor, Coyote. Tell him to get a hold of, or if you would, give him Bill's number, or my number. My number is 760-207-2965. Ask him to give me a call.
Okay, 760-207-2965.
I haven't talked to him since he left the yard.
Maybe he's not talking to you. You owe him money.
No.
Maybe you owe him money. That's why
no.
he doesn't want to talk
no.
to you.
No.
Listen, Coyote, you know I'm all about moves and bullshit and setting programs up. I would very much like to ask you, request you guys to think, during the course of the concert, if you could bring the whole club up on stage and you could thank the people for coming and we can thank you for putting up with this tremendous tragedy in your life, the way you guys have handled it as men. So if you think about it, I know you're low-keyed. Your club's low-key, but it would mean a lot, I think, for all of us to give you a round of applause to say thanks for being a good example for all of us because, you know, that pretty much almost wiped you guys out, and yet you hung together as a group.
Yeah, Ryan's real conducive for stuff like that. He's a real stand-up guy on stage, so, you know.
You know, that's a risk we all assume when you get on one, Bill. You know that anybody that doesn't accept that risk is only fooling themselves.
I've got every
the ones we lost by doing something they were passionate about. I hope I'm that lucky. I'm probably going to die on a bike myself. I'm just trying to postpone it as long as possible.
Well, you know, I've never been suicidal in my life. I have too much to live for. But I'm going to tell you right now over the air, on a beautiful sunny day riding down by the ocean, I've said to God, if you're going to take me today, I got no complaints at all. Not suicidal, but I've said that if this is the way it is, this is the way it's going to be. I have no complaints.
That's kind of how I feel about it. You know, I've lived a good life to date, Bill. The bumps in the road were all self-inflicted, and if I died tomorrow, I wouldn't feel cheated.
The thing about my Coyote, and I have to say this out loud, I have more people in the cemeteries that I call brothers. I have people on the street, and you know I am. I'm everywhere in California. I know thousands of people, but I have to understand that I've buried so many people, and it's always hard, always hard.
Yeah,
it is. Well, we're just trying to do what we can to take care of the survivors. Wilson lost his wife. He just got back out of the hospital today, had a colostomy bag reversal. Had a bag since the accident. So he's happy, boy. He's already bought a new motorcycle. Custom Cycle Works is putting the auto clutch in it for him because he has very limited use of his left wrist. But he's got every intention of getting back on the horse that bucked him and go on.
Yeah, it's crazy. I've noticed that, like, last week, I know you know about this, too. I was at the funeral for the Big Chance, the Res Rider, the Indian guys. And then the very next day, a friend of mine, my age again, 63, He was checking it. He heard a noise in his garage. He went outside, and three young Mexicans were robbing him. One of them shot him in the chest with a shotgun, killed him on the spot.
Damn.
That was the second day. Third day, another one of my friends, heart attack, stroke. I don't know the difference. Three in 3 days, but they keep going. But the ones that live, they got the intestinal fortitude to say, I'm going to make the best of my life. It's not just about me. It's about my family and the ones that I love. How can I help them? That's why I like so much about the biker community.
Nice. Very nice.
That's how we do it. Checkered flag or crash. There ain't no in-between. Go for the gusto. You only get one shot at this. One thing I know for sure, none of us make it out of here alive. So I'm gonna make the best of it every day I got.
I agree with that.
That's
all you can do. That's it. I try not to be, somebody I'm not. Take me for the way I am, or just don't bother me at all. I'm way too old now to try to make adjustments. I hope my life has been enough that some people say, you know what, he did a good thing. But if they don't, they disagree with me too, that's all right, because, I'm comfortable with myself.
Well, you know, Bill, I have the perfect song for that. Would you like to introduce it?
Oh, I'm always worried about you and your choice of songs. Hang on, everybody. I have no idea where we're going.
This song is about a brotherhood and camaraderie.
You know, you and I have been together a long time. Long time. We go way back to our Mexico days, and we went a long time.
Hello.
Appropriate for you to be coming here, sitting down, and taking your clothes off every time. I'm telling you, this is just wrong. This is probably why none of these girls will go out with you.
Yeah.
Bill, I gotta get.
All right, buddy. We'll be seeing you soon again, and I'll be talking to Ryan and talking to Erica for more.
We'll be in touch.
Feel free anytime you want to call in. You have the chair.
Bye, sweetheart. Thanks.
Bye. We're going to close off with a song if you want, guys. It's one of Screwdriver's favorite. It's out of Europa, and it's called... We still got it up there? I lost it.
Right there.
Forever Angels by Axel Pidl. Pidl, I think?
Bill.
All right. Well, anyways, that's good. Blow my goddamn eardrums out. Hang on, everybody. It's some Screwdriver here. And Bill Kennedy, too. Respect all of our friends at all the clubs. Screwdriver and our true independence. We just know where our friends are. Thank you. like that song, Mother Screwed Over. You do kind of like that song.
You want to tell people what you thought about that song the first time you heard it?
I thought that song the first time or the tenth time. I thought that song just fit right in there because it fits to all motorcycle riders. It fits to everybody that wants to look for freedom. It reaches out to people that are just saying, I'm looking for a direction. I want to know there's something out there, and I hear that, and I'm ready to ride my bike. I mean, that's how I feel about it. Janis Joplin music used to do has been off a lot. Ride my motorcycle, just take off. But again, I think that approaches all clubs, everybody. It just makes people feel like it's a good feel song, I think.
That's it.
Pete, you still out there?
I'm here.
I want you to understand, you heard Coyote speaking of Saddle Tramps, and without having the picture, you heard his raspy voice, and I want you to understand, I've known the man, I don't know, 20 years, I don't know, more maybe, less, I don't know. I want you to hear a guy that long hair down his back, a big disheveled beard, the same way that boy's looked for 20 years.
What he reminds me of is his personality, his attitude, is that Merlin.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Just has that. He said he wants to die on his bike, and in a good way, you know. And man, my type of guy.
Good. Pete, hang on a second. We got another caller there on the last four numbers, 1340. Are you out there? Last four numbers, 1340. You want to jump in?
That would have been me, I believe.
Yeah. And tell us who you are, please.
Erica
still.
Yeah, Erica.
Oh, I thought when Coyote said he was leaving, you were leaving too. I apologize with that. So let me get back real quick to. Well, that's a good question like that. Erica, that was your first time hearing that song. That's by friends of ours from Europe. They're in a motorcycle club. How'd you feel about that song?
Yeah, you know, it reminded me of an 80s band that I used to be a big fan of, Great White. Beautiful lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a chick song. It sure is, you know. But I can see flying on a bike to that song. sort of a movie-ish, movie theme kind of drive to it. You know?
Yeah, great tune, Phil.
Well, you know, sometimes I hit the mark and sometimes I don't.
We're still waiting for you to hit it tonight,
yeah.
So you just hit it anytime you want to hit it. I want you people out there to understand, I'm just all alone here with Screwed Over, and I want to thank everybody. We're not checking out, but I just want to thank everybody for taking the time to call, because how sad would it be me to sit here all night with Screwed Over? Yeah, so everybody agrees with me. You have picked on me since the show started. Years ago, you criticized me, you critiqued me, you point things out to me. I have deep emotional scars of being here with
Hey, Bill, can I throw a plug out there for Gino? He asked me if I could do it for him.
What's that? Go ahead.
He, if you guys don't mind, Phil and Bill, sorry, not just Bill. He was here earlier, and he couldn't call in because his mother was very sick, and he had to leave. He wanted me to mention this on the show. He's in Gino Gentile, you know who he is, obviously. He's in the Loyal Sons Motorcycle Club, and they're a Christian club. And they're a great bunch of guys, and they are having their first annual bike blessing, and it's Saturday, May 7th, 2011, 10 a.m. at the First Parish Congregational Church. It's 10 Church Street, Lake Quanah Powit, I think that's how you say it, Wakefield, Massachusetts. After the bike blessing, there's going to be a get-together at the Wakefield Clubhouse. So if you're in Massachusetts or anywhere around Massachusetts, head out to 10 Church Street at the lake there in Wakefield, Mass, at the church, and the Loyal Sons are going to have their first bike blessing.
You have a flyer?
What's that?
You have a flyer.
Yeah. I made one for them. I made
Send
one
me the
for
flyer.
Them. What?
Send me the flyer.
I'll do that.
Put it on the blog for you.
I don't hang out with those guys much because it's not really my thing. But you know, I've been to a couple of their things, and they do have a good time. They don't.
Most people hear the word Christian and they panic.
Yeah, no, I mean, to be honest with you, I had never been to a Christian event before. I've always been to 1% events, and I had never been to a Christian biker event. And he asked me to go last year to their pig roast in Wakefield, Mass. And I was hesitant. And I pulled up, and there was probably, and I'm not kidding you, 200 people there at least. And I pulled up, and they parked me right out front. There was no parking spots. The whole road was motorcycles and cars. And I pulled up. They parked me out front. Walked in. There was an admission fee for a donation for homeless veterans. They wanted to bring me in free. I didn't. I said no. I said I want to make a donation. Went in, and it was a pig roast. And I got to tell you, there was no. There was no booze, there was no drugs, there was no strippers, there was no fighting, but I can tell you, I had a great time there. There was a lot of nice people.
Tastes nice.
Nobody filled my head with God or anything like that. It was nothing like that. It was a pig roast, it was a biker pig roast without all the evil things that go along with a lot of the pig roast. And I didn't think I'd like it, but I enjoyed it. And you know, I'll probably go to this bike blessing. Also, although, you know, Gino's been trying to talk me into prospecting for that club, and I says I could never be in a Christian club, man. No offense, I'm a Catholic, I believe in God, but I couldn't do it. But that's their bike blessing, and I'll send Phil the flyer, and I know Phil can take care of that, sending that out and showing people, so thanks. And I'll tell him, and he'll be happy about it. But thanks for letting me put that out there, because he asked me about 10 times earlier if I could do that.
So, you know, the,
send it to me, and then anything, tell Gino I said anything he wants to do, just make sure I get it ahead of time so I can put it on the blog, and then we'll run it two or three times a week
cool,
for the event.
He's going to appreciate that. Like I said, there's only 7 or 8 in his club. His chapter is pretty new. It's the North chapter or North Side chapter, 7 or 8 guys, decent guys, you know. They have a larger chapter down in Plymouth, Mass, where I'm sure Bill is familiar with Plymouth. I guess, I don't know if they're disbanding or what, but no, I had fun at the Pig Roast last year. I'll definitely attend some other events, but I just won't make a habit of going to Christian events. I just thought it's not my thing. You know, it's not my thing. It's just, you know, I was the only one there that looked the way I did, and I had a red and white shirt on, and I just thought that everybody there hated me. But what I found out after spending several hours talking with these people is these people were great, you know. I had a good time. So Loyal Sons are good people. They're good people, and everybody that was there, it was a great time. They had bands, lots of food, you know. It was great. So anyway, yep, that's the bike blessing. I'll send it to Phil, and thanks, and the Loyal Sons, thank you.
Eric, let me get you back on the air again, too. We need you to send some information to Screwdriver also, like the flyer or something.
Yeah, you know what? I'm typing up an email as we speak. I sent one before, and I sent it to Strokers at 383. Is that the address I should be using?
It should be Strokers with a Z at 38.
Okay.
That's the one you should be using.
We need you to talk a little bit longer because I'm getting emails from Evely in England and Pete in Boston are saying, Bill, shut up and let Erica talk. So I guess that's a hint.
Oh, no worries.
Talking about the event a little bit. They don't want
to hear me. No, we didn't say that. Just we wanted her to talk. She has a nice voice.
Oh,
yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, I think.
Evil E might have said it, but I didn't say it.
No. I made that part up.
Yeah, I
they
know.
They were thinking it, though. They were thinking it. Shut up.
Hello, can everyone hear me out there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. We got a big echo, but we can hear you.
We hear your Boston accent, dear Evil E. We hear you.
Evil E, try to say something? Jump in.
No, I just wanted to ask you, Bill and Phil, what chance do you reckon we've got the helmet law being revoked over here in England? Because it's not fair that, you know, bikers over here in England are getting constantly hassled for not wearing their helmets, you know?
His,
I can help you on that. Evil, do you want to know how? I can help you on that.
Don't wear it.
Yeah.
Don't want to wear the helmet anymore?
Don't wear it.
Cheek.
Yeah.
Become one of the Indian religions and put that rag around the towel.
They're wearing a burqa towel.
Because in England, you have that towel on your head. It's a law. I'm telling you.
Did you know that? Did you know that, Evil? If you wear that,
yeah.
If you wear that turban as a
Wait,
religious...
You get-
If you wear that
you
turban as a religious right,
yeah.
You don't have to
oh,
wear a helmet.
You're exempt from wearing on a motorcycle. You don't have to put a helmet on.
Really?
What's the updates on the U.S. Helmet law? What's going on now?
Well, we're fucked up all over. That's
all right.
That's about the blunt of it.
Let me talk about this if I can for a second. Never mind the emotional
yeah, let
aspect.
Let the pretty girl talk.
Here we go. Shut up. Erica, would you tell us about the helmet law? How you feel about it? They're throwing me off again.
You know what, me, frankly, personally, I don't like appendages of any sort. I don't like fins on my feet when I swim. As far as safety goes, you know, the one time I got in a really bad accident, and it wasn't on a motorcycle, but I put my seatbelt on about three minutes before the actual accident, and I never wore a seatbelt before that, but I happened to put it on, and if I hadn't, I'd be dead right now. So, you know, safety, you know, there's a lot to be said for that, you know, but I think everything has its time and place. And, you know, it's funny. We seem to know what we can do when we can do it, you know, but, you know, we don't have control over fate either, do we?
No. And I'm going to jump in my own two cents in this here. What's wrong, Pete and Evil and Art, is the fact that when it comes up for voting, your mama votes, your aunt votes, your sister probably votes, and you lazy bikers, you don't get out and vote. You don't get out and change anything. You sit in the bar with your drink and you complain. That doesn't help us. The helmet manufacturers can legally donate millions of dollars to congressmen and senators legally to keep the helmet law. Time to vote. We can make changes. Where are our male bikers? Sitting in the bar moaning, oh, poor me, poor me. I'll tell you guys, get off your ass, get out and vote. That's the only way we'll do it. But the men won't. Our women do. And let me tell you something. My mama will personally vote the helmet in for the rest of her life. She does not like me not wearing a helmet. Women vote. Men, whatever reason, we sit in the bar. That's one of the reasons we'll have the law here forever, I think.
Good point. Good point.
Yeah, good point.
Can I see that back?
Yeah.
Pete, can you see a picture of Erica?
No,
oh, I'm sorry, guys.
You got my email, I see.
I can pick her on my head.
Pete and Evil, I'm sorry you can't see that picture. It's just a picture
nope,
of her swimming. She doesn't have her fins on, and she doesn't. Oh, no, I don't think I should talk about it anymore now.
I think she had a flyer in the press release that I did for the show, and I stuck a picture of
her. Did you hear what Bill said, did you? You didn't hear what Bill said, did you?
No.
He said you're in a swimming pool. Oh, you're not wearing any fins, and then he stopped because he didn't want to reveal what else.
All right, now where are these pictures at, Bill?
Yeah.
I want to know.
With a birthday candle.
We can't share it, I'm afraid.
Oh, come on. You got a Facebook page? No, I won't go there.
Well.
Maybe next time we figure a way to get her pictures.
You know, we're
yeah.
really all just a bunch of big kids, you know.
I'll never grow up. I will never grow up.
The other thing I wanted to tell you, Erica, is we have, I have connections to the East Coast in the middle states, Midwest, and your flyer, as of the 25th, when you sent it to me, I sent it to a lady in Boston who has a thing, it's called Biker Bits.
Yeah.
And she put it out 25th. She put it out at 3:56 p.m.
Okay.
That's our girl Betsy.
Yes, that's our girl Betsy. So what you sent me, which says the Rock Show fundraising event benefiting the victims and family members involved
yeah.
in the October Salitrans motorcycle accident is on. I'll send you back the link when the show is over,
okay.
And you can go look at it there. But she'll run it every couple of days until the event.
Okay, awesome. Hey, speaking of chicks and all the like, I got a chicken in my truck, smelling up my truck because I brought it home for dinner for my mama, and she's has no clue that I'm out here in the office with the chicken in the truck.
Just kind of take the romance out of the situation. I'm not really,
you know, that just spoiled the picture with no
yeah.
family. So.
Sorry.
Yeah, dead chicken. God knows. You know, yeah. I don't know.
No, it's a Costco chicken. It smells pretty good.
As long as she wasn't choking it.
No, don't go there. Oh, yeah.
I'm not even scared, not even a little bit. Oh,
she walked into my shop like she owned the shop. She had ponies walking in.
I've been there before. I was so excited to come and see you guys. I was.
Well, we'll let you go take care of your chicken.
And
we hope that for Pete and Eagle's sake, we'll figure a way to get their picture back out so they can see it. You know.
That'd be great.
You have to be extra careful around Pete because, you know, he's been hurt before and he's very...
Hey, you guys have been really terrific. I appreciate it. And I hope that all has a good night. And then for the Europeans, I hope you have a great day.
And then don't forget now, I'm going to hold you to the 10th, but if you feel the need to call in again, you got the number.
Okay. Gotcha.
And then anything else your brother's band wants to do, just... extend the invitation, tell them to send me the email with the flyer or whatever they're going to do, and we'll put it out there for you.
Appreciate it. You guys rock.
Gentlemen, you want to say goodnight to her at this time? Go ahead, guys. Good night, Erica.
Good night, everyone. Bye.
Everybody stepped on that. Okay, Bye. Good. That was kind of nice. Yeah, it's too bad Pete's kind of shy, you know?
Yeah.
Eva Lee's really, you know, a nice guy, you know. Too bad. We had to figure a way to get a picture out to Pete and Eric, you know, and to Eva Lee. What do you think, Pete? You think you'd have handle the picture of her sent out to you?
Put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Let me see. I'll try that right now.
I don't know. He's trying. I don't know what he's doing there. I don't know. Hey, Eva Lee.
Yeah.
Eva, you out there?
Yeah.
Listen, are you going to the wedding? Did you get your tickets to the wedding?
I ain't bothered with that shit. I just want to get pissed.
He's just going for the booze. He told me, he said Tuesday,
right.
He's just going for the booze.
Oh, well. It's just an excuse to get pissed, you know? Simple as.
Well, brother, it's your story. You tell it any way it sounds good right now.
Well, it helps all the merchants selling stuff and all that, so. Do you know at the last wedding...
The first part is everywhere, so it's going to be pretty good, but...
Do you know that in England you guys had a brownout? Your electricity went bad because after the last wedding, so many people got together for high tea all across London that they used too much electricity and they burnt it out. Did you know that?
No.
Did you know that, Evelyn?
No.
See, I just collect this useless information. It's inside my body. I got to let it out somewhere. I just collect stuff. I don't know how I collect it. I don't know why I collect it there. You and I got a bunch of stuff coming up.
Yes.
We have runs the 7th, 14th, and 21st.
Well, actually...
And then if we do this one...
Yeah, and then actually Saturday night, Bill, is fight night at the clubhouse in San Fernando Valley.
That's right, too. The George St. Pierre out of Canada is fighting, I forgot, somebody. And then as you did bring up, we're going to do the Hollywood premiere next month.
Right.
It's a new movie, motorcycle things. We can't let the title out and all that yet. I don't know why. In fact, I don't think we're supposed to talk about it. Now you told
everybody.
I didn't talk about it. You talked about it.
Yeah, I talked to him the other day. He was going to call in.
Is that right?
He was call in tonight, but he's going to call in next Tuesday, Bill. He's trying to get the gentleman that's making the movie together. And according to him, we're in it.
Oh, I didn't know. We're in the movie. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we're in it.
Oh, okay. I had talked to him about the, because our name has to be on the VIP list to get in,
mm-hmm.
and I assumed that I'd be sitting, like, you know, in the same row as you, and they said, oh, no, he'll, screwdriver's in the back seat, he's way in the back, way, way back there, so I didn't know that was about there.
I have a short story about, since you're talking about TV.
Share with us.
It's a two-minute story, well, 3 minutes. It was either last Thursday or the Thursday before. I don't remember because I'm tired. Me, Gino, Hermes, Kenny, his buddy Kenny, and Hermes's attorney friend. We all did a TV show, And we shot it live. It's just a local access television show here in Massachusetts. And the show was great. I mean, it was great. We talked about a lot of different things, a lot of different stuff. So we wrapped the show up. It was an hour long, and everybody shook hands and, you know, exchanged phone numbers, and everybody left. Well, we all get a call the next day, me, Hermes, all of us. The TV studio, the guy that was working the monitors, not the cameraman, forgot to turn the monitors on. So all we have is audio from this great TV show that we did, and no picture. So Hermes was pissed. I was pissed. Gino, everybody was pissed. But we're going to do another one on May 5th. And I'm going to, this time, hopefully, the idiot turns the monitors on and the picture comes out. And I'll be posting it on my Facebook page once it's on CD. And it's basically a show like this one. We didn't talk about a lot of biker related stuff, but we did throw some stuff in there. But we have no picture of the day. I have the CD in my hand, but we have no picture, just audio. Hermes was on there, you know, a few others.
Pete, hang on a second. We got somebody trying to jump in on you. They got to hold it. Can you hold it?
No.
Okay, Pete, finish up. You're on. Keep going.
Actually, right now, if you guys are in front of your computer,
yeah,
and you go to my blog,
you're gonna start trouble.
I'm getting up to go. I'm gonna check this out.
The first picture. It says Thursday, April 28th. That's
what screwdriver looks like.
All right, I'm walking over to my computer.
Thursday, April 28th.
Let me see.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Have you got it? The picture?
How do I get to your blog? Yeah.
Huh?
How do I get to your blog?
To the blog.
I know that's a stupid question, but how do I get to your blog?
You go to, hang on.
You talking about your Facebook page?
No.
Oh, Thursday, April 28th, 2000.
I'm friggin' tired, man. Where is it? Where do we go? Where do I go?
Is that the one with a woman in the brown, is it?
That screwdriver.
Fuck you.
Somebody help me out here. I'm jealous. I can't find it. Where do I go?
Hang on, Pete. I got to get it from somewhere and put it.
He was still laughing. He was cracking up.
Okay.
Apparently, right, didn't know what you're looking like
chat room. It's in the chat room right now, Pete. Just copy and paste it.
Oh, okay. I got it. Oh, all right. I'm tired. I apologize. I had quite the day, as you know. All right, let's see what we got here.
Evil, have you seen the picture?
Yeah, the woman with the...
That screwdriver, I'm telling you. For Christ's sakes, his voice goes deep at times.
Hey, what does the picture say?
It's Mega Monday.
Okay, do you want to describe what that picture is?
Every show I got to look at.
Oh, my God. Look at that. Who is that?
Is
that Bill?
That screwdriver, yeah.
You fucker.
Every show I got to put. As soon as he gets here, he takes his clothes off. Every time.
Hey, Bill, so, you moved to Cal. Ever since you moved to Cal, did you have a sex change?
No. This is Bill. That's Bill. Screwdriver. Bill.
Gotcha.
You guys in California are wacky, man. That's why I stay on the East Coast. Yeah. Great picture. Who is that? Do we know her?
Oh,
that's a trade secret, brother.
No, I tell you.
I'll share pictures, but I won't give out information.
So, you know, Phil, as long as I've been going on your show, I never really looked at this. And
Well, now you know what you've been missing.
Without getting into great details, up in the clouds so much that I miss a lot of things, like 10 years of my life.
Okay, here. All right, you're on there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you go over to the side there where all it says...
I see it.
It says the blog archive?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, just scroll down. So you come across the one that says about migraines.
Migraine.
Where it says migraine help might be worth a try.
How far down is it?
About a quarter of the way.
A quarter of the way?
Yeah.
I don't see it. Do you see?
Wait a minute.
All right, hang on. I'll help you guys out right now.
No,
I'll post.
I think. Let me see.
I'll post it right now. There you go. Give it a minute. Okay, there it is right now. Monday, it says Monday, April 25th. When you scroll down after Bill and I's picture.
Yeah.
It says migraine help might be worth a try.
Why am I not seeing it?
Refresh your page.
Oh, refresh my page, okay. Jesus, I'm stupid. Jesus, I'm stoned.
Brother, you're among friends.
Jesus, I'm stoned. No, yeah, I'm just joking. Okay, let me see here.
The top one where the other one was?
Yeah.
It should say migraine help might be worth a try.
Is it below the chick?
Excuse me?
The picture of the girl, is it below that or above it?
You got to go down on that. I see it.
Wait a minute. I see it. I got it. Let me see.
Migraine help.
Jesus, you guys are perverts.
Migraine help.
I love it. I love it. That would probably help my migraines.
We have nobody that wants to be a sponsor. We have nobody that wants to donate a nickel to our show, and I keep saying, I wonder why.
Well, we're going to spice it up, aren't we?
What?
Well, somebody sent that to me, and I thought that was hilarious. That's why I put it up.
Bill,
no,
it looks like you're in the
you're
middle.
Pervert.
Is that you in the middle, Bill? When you were younger?
No, I've got gray hair.
I can't find it, Philip.
No.
All right, good.
No, you know who it looks like? Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, he does kind of.
Thanks for sharing that. That's funny.
Is it next to the girl, is it?
Hold on, Pete.
Yeah.
All right. Evil E, if you go down on the side where it says blog archive.
Yeah.
You see it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now you're going to scroll down where it says April.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to go down about 50 or so of those red websites.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get, when you get to Sweetwater, it's right below Sweetwater.
Migraine help. Might be worth a try. Can you find it?
Come on, the clock's ticking, Evil. Hurry up.
Man, no. Sweetwater.
Go over to the right. There's different topics, and it says migraines. What does it say, Phil?
Migraine help.
Migraines might help. Click on it.
It's about
very simple.
Down, right?
It's about a quarter of the way down. You should start seeing Olympia, Steve McQueen, Texas, Wisconsin, Australia, Sweetwater, and migraine help.
Wisconsin now, actually.
Jesus Christ! Just send him the picture, Phil, will you?
This is what I'm saying, Pete. We'll never get any legitimate.
No shit. No, actually,
we're
really
these problems
with
these shows. The other guys don't have problems.
Bill, you know why? Howard Stern started all that. And now he's a millionaire. You know, so maybe we can get this thing huge where people will start donating and sponsoring us because we're all insane. And people like to hear this type of shit.
Hey, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute, Pete.
Yeah.
People, have you found it yet?
I'm still scrolling down looking for the cat. There's quite a lot of interesting stuff on you about New Zealand.
With you, I promise.
See,
just get to the migraine topic, buddy.
Help wanted.
No.
Mind reader.
Jesus, you're on Craigslist. Get off Craigslist. Get on the other site.
Thank God we all live in different states. We're all together. It'd be a disaster.
Can you send me the link, Philip?
No kidding, huh?
If you just go to the blog.
Yeah.
Okay. If you just go to the blog, I just published it. It should be the first one when you pull it up now.
Well, let me refresh the page.
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
Here's your answer. That's probably why you couldn't find it.
Okay.
BakerSongs.com. Illusion Sports, Friday Night Fight Live, Pictures.
Hey, you don't have to read them all. Just scroll down.
Oh, Motorcycle Radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Insanity at its finest.
You know, while you're looking for that, Evil Lee, I'm going to read you guys something here.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
All right. You know, Bill, the other day I got an email out of Detroit, and it says, the federal investigators in Detroit have taken a rare step in obtaining search warrants that give them access to Facebook accounts of suspected criminals.
What happened? We lost everybody.
No, we didn't lose anybody.
We're talking about Facebook accounts.
Yeah, hang on.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. There have been a few dozen search warrants for Facebook accounts nationwide since May of 2009, Bill, including three recently approved by a federal magistrate judge in Detroit. According to the Detroit News analysis of publicly available federal court records, the trend raises privacy and evidentiary concerns in a rapidly evolving digital age and illustrates the potential law enforcement value of social media, experts said. Locally, Facebook's account had been seized by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives and the FBI to investigate more than a dozen gang members and accused bank robber Anthony Wilson. Now, it's an interesting case with this Anthony Wilson, Bill.
I don't know Anthony Wilson.
No.
I don't know anybody in Detroit.
Okay. What they did was they got
Any relatives back then?
No, listen.
All right.
What they did was they got a tip, okay, that this guy was wearing, he always wears this one baseball cap. They went to his Facebook account and compared it to the bank video. Bingo.
Oh, you're a dummy.
He said Facebook, in his defense was, Facebook could have let me know what was going on. Instead, I got my door kicked down and all of a sudden I'm in handcuffs. Shouldn't have robbed the fucking bank, huh?
No, you know.
Must have had a Yankees hat on.
Huh?
Must have had a Yankees hat on.
I don't know.
He was in Boston.
No, actually, he said,
yeah.
Did you find it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did I mention this motorcycle radio? We're here to talk about motorcycle radio. Well, you know, we was kidding earlier about not getting sponsors. You know what?
Right.
If we can't talk about what we want to talk about, if our friends on the air, new friends, old friends, if they can't talk about what they want to talk about, I don't want to know.
We're going to get you some sponsors, yeah. Don't worry about it. I can guarantee it. I
got
a couple guys coming on with me next week that you're going to love. They were in, well, we'll save that for next week.
But this is where I was going.
God, please finish it.
The information gleaned from the internet raises constitutional evidentiary issues that must be considered, including privacy and the right against unreasonable searches and seizures. The chief U.S. district judge, who is also an evidence professor at Wayne State University, from the internet and social media sites, also raises issues whether the information can be authenticated. The internet is the next frontier for the development of Fourth Amendment law.
We're actually getting back into motorcycle radio. This is a good thing.
That's a good thing.
That's where we actually started.
The FBI said, we do not comment publicly on data requests, even though we disclose the request to the user. We have this policy to respect privacy and avoid the risk that even acknowledging the existence of a request could wrongfully harm the reputation of an individual. Believe that shit. That's where we're going.
Like I said this to you before, I think if my grandfather, who's long passed away, I think if he woke up today, he wouldn't recognize this country as America.
No. And
right now we got
Terry Hardy on. He's in the chat room right now. If Terry wants to call in.
Terry, jump in quick if you want. We only got a couple minutes. We want to hear what you got to say, buddy.
Let me see if I can get him real quick. Even if he calls, Bill, we can still talk to him. Everybody that's on right now, even though the show will go, it'll be on, but it won't be streaming. So we'll still be able to talk to him. I'm just sending the number to see if he wants to call in. But
he wants to listen to us. That's okay.
Yeah. But anybody that's here, they'll still be able to hear the show, Bill.
That's right. Terry, if you're first time checking in, anything you find on the show.
Terry's the guy I told you about from the other night from the World of Soul Motorcycles.
Okay, well, anything you hear tonight that's informative, that's from Bill Kennedy
he's
over
calling,
there.
He's calling right now,
and
Bill.
If anything you find is totally out of control, that's from Screwdriver's apartment over there.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Friends, what would I do without friends?
Hey, Bill, you said you liked me earlier. What the hell happened?
We got some strange ones over here. Let me tell you quickly, Screwdriver got in a bad accident about a year ago. Show's dislocated. We're going to a martial art studio where they're fighting, and we're going down the road. The show's starting to heal, and I noticed about 70 miles an hour, the wind was pushing him on his bike, and with a dislocated shoulder, he was having a hard time.
No, it wasn't dislocated. It was surgically repaired. There's
okay.
There's three plates and 48 screws holding it on.
Holy shit. Wow.
Just scratch. You know, it was hurting him going down the road. We're going about 70 miles an hour. I want to get to the fights. So what do I do as a friend? I bring the speed up to 90 miles an hour.
Oh, you're nuts.
So bad.
Jesus, poor guy's shoulder.
Yeah. Hey, hold on, you guys. Let me bring Terry in. Terry, are you there?
Yeah, here I am. Phil, good evening. Good evening, Phil. Good evening, Bill.
Hey, yeah, Bill, this is the gentleman I was telling you about from Tuesday.
Yes, huh?
He's with the World of Soul Motorcycle Community, and we had some interesting discussion the other day.
Well, one of the things that you discussed was one of the fact the show's over at 8:00. Did you mention that to the gentleman, huh? Well,
I
don't want to have much conversation with this guy, so
no,
I'm going
to
cut him off right away.
No,
huh? That's kind of mean to me.
Well, you know what?
Hey, Bob, don't worry about the 10 seconds. We can still talk.
If he really cared for you, he'd invite you on the show early. But go ahead.
Actually, just to justify myself, Terry, didn't I tell you could call back after 6 on Thursday?
Yeah, you sure did. We're getting a late start here today. But, you know, it's one of those opportunities where I don't have to get caught up because it's the last minute here.
Tell us about your neighborhood. What's going on in your neighborhood out there, guy?
You know what's good? What's going on in the neighborhood? We're happy to have a helmetless environment here, but we're heading over into Nevada coming this August, and the struggle over SB 177 is something that we've been engaged in here recently, and justifiably so. You know, we don't typically get involved in these types of legislative issues, but it's time that we wake up and really understand what's going on and get engaged and become more aware as not to continue to be restricted and just get involved.
And I have to stop there because if we can't get all of our political motorcycle rights groups together, if we can't get all the motorcycle people riding, voting, listening what's going on together, we'll never get off our asses. This is the biggest thing I complain about. I don't care what motorcycle rights they want to launch. Get out. Get involved with stuff. We need that togetherness. Go ahead, brother. You got the air again.
Just to interrupt you for a second, Bill. He had a this is from Chicago in March 22nd, 2011.
It's springtime, and the Kentucky Derby is right around the corner. But just like horses coming out of the gate, we're really excited about the ride.
Well, he's from Chicago.
Yes.
Slow it down.
Lost everybody?
No. No.
Okay.
It's just one of them things where it's doing its own thing on me, Bill.
All right. Well, he's from Chicago. You're from Chicago.
Right.
Did he come to the same orphanage you came from?
No.
Oh, no,
but I lived on the west side. He lives on the far south side, Bill.
Did he have an orphanage where he came from, or just you?
But what he has going, Bill, it's called Ride for Change, Ride for Hope Foundation.
All right.
Okay.
Chicago.
And what they did was they had this big motorcycle get together and they rode through all the dissident neighborhoods.
Why do you always got to talk with your hands?
Why?
Put your damn hand. I'm listening to what he's saying.
From growing up in Chicago.
Go ahead. All right. He got people together.
Right. And I'll let you take it from there, Terry.
Well, you know, it's an opportunity to raise awareness about issues significant to the community, and it all starts with communication of what the issues actually are. So we're encouraging folks to get involved and become part of building up the community. So we We partner with local not-for-profit organizations that address the needs of at-risk youth, especially those that have an agenda for education, as we see that's the key to resolving many of the issues plaguing our community. Life for Change, Life for Hope is, as I mentioned, an awareness campaign that culminates with a motorcycle event. And we kickstarted our national campaign that just finished it up last Saturday by escorting a few tour buses en route to historically black colleges and universities from Chicago to Columbus, Ohio, Washington, D.C., Charlotte, and Greensboro, North Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia, all the way down to Birmingham, Alabama, and back to Chicago. Just raising the awareness about the need to get involved with the education issue and encouraging young black kids to stay in school. The fact of the matter is that 30 to 40% of African-American males are not graduating high school. That's a problem. And as I mentioned the last time I was on the show, that's not a black issue. That's not a white issue. That's an American issue. We're talking about the productivity of our nation. As our bottom comes up, our whole nation comes up. So we've got to be cognizant and conscious of how we're leaving our people, you know, uneducated. And we've got to encourage folks to continue their education and be productive citizens so that we can be more competitive, not only in the local or national marketplaces, but in the global marketplace. It's a big issue. And I think it's something that we can all become engaged in. And speaking of education, let's talk about the helmet struggle here. I mean, we talk about education. That's ignorance in itself, to the extent that folks feel that we could be restricted with these laws that impede upon our rights as citizens. And it's not that we don't like to wear helmets. I mean, we just don't like to be told that we have to wear helmets. I mean, where is it going to stop?
Let me, right now, not to interrupt you, but the gentleman you just heard speak, he's calling from London right now. He's a good friend of ours. His name is, he goes by Evil E. And then we have Pete out of Boston.
Yeah.
Hello.
That was Evil E saying hello to you. And who's the other gentleman? Pete, you still on the line from Boston?
Yeah, I wanted to say hello to the gentleman from the Wheels of Soul. I have a lot of respect for that club. You guys are a tight brotherhood. Jeez, when you said Wheels of Soul, I'm like, wow, I haven't heard that name in a while.
Amazing,
you know?
Isn't
right,
it?
Right on, brother, right on.
Well, it's often a mistake. We're not Wheels of Soul, we're the World of Soul.
Oh, okay.
What's the name?
Hang on a second.
It's not Wheels of Soul. What is the name? Wheels
of Soul. World of Soul.
Pete, when he told me that, too, I have many friends in the Wheels of Soul. I said, I know all those guys. He said, no, I told you, World of Soul. So, Pete, I made the same mistake
World.
You did.
Oh, okay.
At the older club, yeah.
I have the same respect for the World of Soul as the Wheels of Soul, brother.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Same here.
I just can't, I didn't hear, I thought I heard wheels, but then again, I took my medication and I'm a little drowsy. Don't mind me.
It sounded like Will was home.
Hey, guys, I better log off because I have to run to the down the street to the store before they close because I live in a small hick town and they close at midnight. But thanks for having me on.
No problem, buddy.
I'll be on next Tuesday. And, Phil, I'll send that flyer to you about the Loyal Sons Motorcycle Club bike blessing.
Okay, perfect.
Thanks. And, Eva Lee, talk to you soon. Peace to the World of Soul MC.
Thank you, brother.
All right. People, take care.
Take care.
Let's get Terry back on. Okay, continue on. Let me ask you, you're talking about the economy's in the toilet right now. You're talking about trying to get children educated because they're our future. Let's be honest. How do you think you can reach out and encourage them to stay in school when I don't see a bright economy?
That's a good question.
I hide it well, but I am college educated. It's made me a more well-rounded person to appreciate. How do you convince the younger kids to stay in there for the long run when the economy and their future right now looks so bleak? I'll pass it on to you.
Well, I think it's the images that are out there, even more so than just the economy itself. I mean, there's been a lot of times in American history where we've had a bad economy, and we've always been able to rebound from that. But even more so the materialistic aspect of things and the commercialism as it's being flashed in front of our kids. Those images are directing them in a manner that does not promote education. And I feel that we can reconcile a lot of the issues in the community by reconciling the images that we're putting out there. We've got to demonstrate to kids in the inner city that school is cool and that it is imperative that they continue their education and focus on that first and foremost.
What do you feel about bringing professional athletes and professional musicians and speakers, not speakers, song people, getting them involved with the children, saying, look, you have to get your education first, or football players, you have to understand accounting. You can't let your money in other people's hands. How do you feel about bringing some outside thoughts like that in?
Well, I think that's fine and good, but when you really look at it over the years, the athletes and the entertainers, celebrities have always come to the forefront of those issues, and that really hasn't worked because the kids don't see the education. They see the bling.
That's what I worry about.
That's the vertical conversation, and what we're supporting with the Ride for Change, Ride for Hope project is the lateral conversation. That's the conversation between you and I, people on the ground level in which the kids can really relate to, people that they can see. They need the people in their neighborhoods promoting the things that they want them to be engaged in. That's what we need. We need a positive peer pressure laterally, one to another, versus somebody from the pulpit talking down to us. People don't respect that anymore.
Yeah, I respect people who speak to me, not at me.
Exactly.
And if people think of the way I look, I've got no education. In about 2 seconds later, I want to clarify that. I like the fact that we have people talking to our children. Screwdriver and I do not mind taking our time in talking to them. Realistic goals. I tell them, you want to be the president of the bank? Take a job as a janitor if that's your education. While you got that job as a janitor, continue your education. That's how you become the president of the bank. These are the things that I talk about when I talk to our youth.
Mm-hmm. Just to tell you right now, do you know? Have you ever heard of Moldova?
Romania.
Wait. Have you ever heard of Moldova?
I haven't.
Okay, it's in Eastern Europe. It's between the Ukraine and Romania. Right now, we have 38 people listening there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's the first time. That's the first time they've been in there. That's why I brought it up. So like I said, we're going all over the world.
Now, China is stopping this type of programs, but the past couple of weeks, we started with one person from China.
Right, now we have 130.
Wow, that's pretty good. And if these people are caught listening to us, these type of programs, that's instant imprisonment with them.
Right.
We'd get back to you. I was saying how I speak to them about taking a job, building your future up, and continuing your education. And did you want to elaborate from that point?
Well, I think that's going to be key. That's going to be key for us to get from point A to point B, that we've got to strive for that, continuous education, not only, as you mentioned, not only youth, but for adults, because we can no longer afford to have even adults in the workforce that don't have, it's gotten to the point where you almost have to have a college education to be a janitor.
I give a lot of adults, if they take a class at junior college, because what we're doing, we're showing our youth that even at our age, we're expanding our education. And I understand people have to work very hard for a living. I'm blessed. I have a motorcycle shop. I play all day. But I think the adult education training or the training of the youth, the framing of the youth, must become from the adults. The parents are completely responsible. If they will not continue their education, how can they say to the youth, well, you have to go out and do this? And they're saying, well, mommy, daddy, you're not doing it. I think we have responsibility to show them, work hard, get an education. That's your only secret to success. I forget who said it, Einstein maybe? Success, 10% inspiration, 90% perspiration, is that right? I haven't heard that in a while, something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Your role models have to be your parents first. Do you agree with me on that?
I do.
Okay.
It comes from the house first.
Good. I don't mean to be adversarial with you. I'm just pointing my things out to you.
No, I can appreciate that. It starts with the family, and there was a piece that was shared with me. What does family means? It's an acronym: F for father, A for accountability, M for mother, I for identity, L for love, and Y for you. And that accountability piece really helps you to appreciate that that education is important, because that's the very foundation of everyone's thought process. So you've got to be accountable for those kids by educating them, getting them educated, and setting the right example so that they will follow through. Is that great? Wholeheartedly.
Exactly.
Right for change, right for hope.
Let me ask you this again. I don't mean to keep you interrupting. You know, it must be a bad habit or something. What got you involved in this type of program? Don't forget that last guy, Jesus. He tried to save the world, and they nailed him to a cross. What made you to try to step up and say, I need to do something for my community, my children? What made you do these things here?
That's a good question. I think it's all of those images that came across my mind, came across my vision as a young person. Living here in Chicago, it hasn't been easy. And it's just some things just tell you this isn't right. This isn't right. And then when you grow up and you look back, one of the things, I'll stop for a second. There was an album that was given to me by one of my neighbors, and the person on the album was a comedian. His name was Dick Gregory, an activist comedian.
Of course. Great respect for that man.
He mentioned in his performance, he said, a man without knowledge of himself is like a tree without roots. How can he stand? We do some of the goofiest things and terriblest things without really understanding why we do these things. And if we really come to find out, you know, where we come from, how we got there, why we're at the situation we're at now, we can really start to re-engineer some of these circumstances for a better outcome. And I just come to realize that there's a lot of knowledge out there, but we haven't shared the knowledge to the extent that we can make application of it. We're glorifying all the wrong things and hiding all of the beneficial things to get us where we really should be. And the first one is actually the communication piece. That's the cornerstone of all change. So my life experience and a lot of the folks that have come across me, I was sitting on the front stoop over at 63rd and Wood on Chicago South Side in Inglewood, and I think I was about maybe 13 or 14 when I heard this voice coming down the street, and the voice said something like this, I am somebody. I am somebody. I might be this, but I am somebody. I might be that. Well, it was Jesse Johnson. And there were about a good 30 or 40 other people following behind him as they were marching towards Marquette Park in the process of pursuing access to equal access to housing. Well, at the same time, even prior to that, I was a student right across the street from where Rainbow Push is, Operation Push, back in the early 70s. Mom and Dad never took me over there. But as I grew up, I learned about Dr. King, and I studied a lot of his sermons and famous speeches, and even investigated through research, the wiretaps of Stanley Levinson. And Stanley Levinson was Dr. King's attorney, these federal wiretaps, and it really helped you to appreciate how the civil rights movement took place. How the nuts and bolts of it. It was big business. And they were getting funded by the Ford Foundation, companies, corporations, countries like Sweden and so many others. How they were able to bring about some type of sustainable solutions to issues plaguing the communities by way of the civil rights movement. I am rambling on and on, guys. That's just too much there. My mind is just.
Let me ask you a question, then. Something I'm concerned about. Being who you are and what you look like, how does the community leaders in Chicago relate to you. And I'm talking about the fact you ride your motorcycle up to City Hall or something like that. Because you get off the motorcycle, you're a, I don't want to put a label, you're a biker. Just how do they feel the fact that, how do they relate to you?
You know, that's interesting.
Is that negative or positive?
I think it's positive. I've gone to a lot of black tie fairs and places where you would expect persons to show up in a suit. I show up in a pair of black jeans, T-shirt, and motorcycle vest. And I'm the only one there like that. And I get a lot of attention like that.
I've often wondered, and I can't do this because this is how I feel comfortable in my life. I wear a lot of long sleeve black Dickie shirts, and I wear black Levi's and bell bottom cuts. If I were to shave or cut my hair short and shave my long beard off, I think I'd make a better first impression on people. But I wouldn't be true to myself. And I'm thinking,
right,
I'm comfortable with myself. The second, third time I meet these people, they will at least appreciate not who I am, but what I'm saying. Because I believe the messenger is not as important as the message.
Right. It is definitely the message. And that's why I was so insistent on showing up as a biker to all of these political functions and commercial functions, and making the contacts with people that I needed to contact. And I'm glad that people know what I'm all about as a result of that. And for the first and foremost, it's about my community. It's not about me.
That's actually how we are here, too. Like, every time we get a new mayor, Bill calls up and makes an appointment and goes down to see what this guy stands for and what he's going
to
do.
What's the future? We give him 1 week, 2 weeks maximum to get settled in his office, and we want to know, as citizens, as voters, as taxpayers, as parents, as businessmen, what is your agenda? And I'm going to tell you, these people sit back and think, these people, they want to be part of the city. They want to know. I'm holding them accountable. We also bring out right away from Jump Street, so there's no misunderstanding. We are not adversarial to the police. However, anybody that abuses his authority, we will be at the police station. We will be having discussions with the internal affairs, wherever it's going to be. This is our city. If we sit back and let them just run it, it's wrong. We're not telling the mayor to do anything. We're asking them, this is your area now. You're the mayor. What are you going to do? How is it going to affect us, the motorcycle community? How is it going to affect the businessmen and all that? I think the direct approach, but as soon as they get the new office, it's been very, very good for a screwdriver and myself.
Did we lose him?
I don't know. Terry, you still there?
I am now.
Okay. I was just going to say to you two, you guys are wrapped up a little bit. My stomach's making noises. I'm grumbling over here.
What I'd like to do is next Thursday, if you could call in a little earlier, and we'll give this, maybe even the whole show, we'll just talk about all this next Thursday.
Let me explain why. Because when you call up before 8 o'clock, I haven't had no damn dinner yet. And so I'm sitting here, my stomach's making noises. If you call before, we'd be glad to give you the whole show. I like what your thoughts are. I'd like to kind of dwell into you a little bit more. Find out how you're approaching. As Screwdriver and I say, because what happens in Chicago today may affect us in California tomorrow.
Yeah.
So on that note, Terry, I'll talk to you and say goodnight. And I'm
very
looking forward to your call back and share some more of your thoughts on this, okay?
Outstanding. Have a good evening.
Good night.
Good night, pal. So long.